engraved on his brain, and they carry tremendous persuasive power. But if you stopped to think about it afterwards, you realized that no one had questioned his sources or their reliability. These clever tactics of his used to drive me mad, but I was never able to explain to anyone exactly what upset me. I was never able to construct an argument to refute him. It was like boxing with a ghost. Your punches just swished through the air. There was nothing solid for them to connect with. I was shocked to see even sophisticated intellectuals responding to him. It would leave me feeling strangely annoyed. And so Noboru Wataya came to be seen as one of the most intelligent figures of the day. Nobody seemed to care about consistency anymore. All they looked for on the tube were the bouts of intellectual gladiators. The redder the blood they drew, the better. It didn't matter if the same person said one thing on Monday and the opposite on Thursday. I first met Noboru Wataya when Kumiko and I decided to get married. I wanted to talk to him before I saw her father. I figured that as a man closer to my own age, he might be persuaded to smooth the way for me with his father.
I don't think you should count on his help, Kumiko said to me, with apparent difficulty. I can't explain it, but he's just not the type.
Well, I'll have to meet him sooner or later, I said.
I guess, said Kumiko.
It's worth a try, I said. You never know.
I guess, said Kumiko. Maybe.
On the phone, Noboru Wataya displayed little enthusiasm at the prospect of meeting me. If I insisted, he said, he could spare me half an hour. We decided to meet at a coffee house near Ochanomitsu Station. He was just a college instructor at the time, long before he had written his book and long before his sartorial conversion. The pockets of his sports coat bulged from having had fists thrust into them too long. His hair was at least 2 weeks overdue for a trim. His mustard-color polo shirt clashed with his blue and gray tweed jacket. He had the look of the typical young assistant professor for whom money was an alien object. His eyes had that sleepy expression of someone who has just slipped out of the library after a day of research in the stacks. But there was a piercing, cold gleam in them, too, if you looked closely. After introducing myself, I said that I was planning to marry Kumiko in the near future. I tried to explain things as honestly as possible. I was working in a law firm, I said, but I knew this was not the right job for me. I was still searching for myself. For such a person to risk marriage might seem to be a reckless act. But I loved his sister, I said, and I believed I could make her happy. The two of us could give each other strength and comfort. My words appeared lost on Noboru Wataya. He sat with his arms folded, listening in silence. Even after my little speech, he remained perfectly still. He seemed to be thinking about something else. I had felt awkward in his presence from the start, and assumed this was because of the situation. Anybody would feel awkward telling a total stranger, "I want to marry your sister." But as I sat there across from him, an unpleasant feeling began to well up inside me. It was like having some kind of sour-smelling alien mass growing in the pit of your stomach. Not that there was any particular thing he said or did that rubbed me the wrong way. It was his face. The face of Noboru Wataya itself. It gave me the intuitive sense that it was covered over with a quite different layer of something. Something wrong. It was not his real face. I couldn't shake off this feeling. I wanted to get the hell out of there. I actually considered getting up and leaving, but I had to see things through to the end. I stayed there sipping my lukewarm coffee and waiting for him to say something. When he spoke, it was as if he were deliberately setting the volume of his voice on low to conserve energy.
To tell you the truth, he said, I can neither understand nor care about what you have been telling me. The things I care about are of an entirely different order, things that I suspect you can neither understand nor care about. To state my conclusion as concisely as possible, if you wish to marry Kumiko and she wishes to marry you, I have neither the right nor any reason to stand in your way. Therefore,